Hi, Shepherd. Welcome to Digital Worship this week. I'm John Carolus, one of our associate pastors, and it's so good to be with you in this digital format. As we have spent the month of May in the series Move, the Resurrection Impact in the Book of Acts, we've looked at the birth of the church and the growth of the Christian movement. Now we take some time this summer to spend a longer period of time, about 10 or 12 weeks, on the parables of Jesus. So we'll be looking through a series called Planted, and what it means that God has planted His Word in our hearts and is growing us in a relationship with Him, impacted by the teachings of Jesus Himself. We're going to be looking at parables, teachings of Jesus, over the course of this series. And there's two kinds of parables that I want you to know about. Parables, on the one hand, may be stories. This is what we're more familiar with, stories that have a particular application, oftentimes, in the kingdom of God, what it means to be the people organized around a relationship with God. And then there's also parables that simply mean a phrase needing more explanation, a confusing phrase that needs to be taught to us. And so next week, we'll be looking at one of those phrases that needs to be explained. This week, we'll be looking at a story Jesus tells of laborers in the vineyard in the kingdom of heaven. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 20 together and hear this story. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one has hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "These people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you've paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." Maybe you've heard this story from Matthew chapter 20 before. Maybe it's your first time interacting with this particular area of the text in Matthew's gospel. But there's a number of things that rise to our attention when we go through this text. And they may be different depending on when you engaged in your relationship with God, when His Spirit poured out faith into your heart. For those of us born into Christian families, we may relate a little bit more to the people that have been working all day. For those who are new to faith, we may feel more like we're one of the people that came later in the day into the vineyard of working with our God. But no matter what person in the story you may feel like you are, there's an important thing that we need to recognize that all of us struggle with. See, we live in a world that isn't like the kingdom of God. Parables about the kingdom of God are stories about what it means when God is in charge, when Jesus is the leader and calling the shots. He is the authority and He makes the rules. He gets to make all of the decisions. In the kingdom of the world, where we live our lives, where oftentimes our sinful nature takes control of us, we're guided by other instructions and other things, oftentimes evil desires within us that simply want more. Greed, power, desire for things, desire for money, desire for influence, desire for accomplishments. We live in a world that tells us more is better. More is what you should be going for. More is how you're rewarded. More is a signifier of where you fall in the hierarchy of people in life. If you've been working longer, you should have more money. If you've been working a better job, you should have more things. And very quickly, our hearts are turned to pursue more. So much so that when we are brought into the kingdom of God, when we're welcomed into the vineyard of our efforts contributing to the work of God out there in the world, that same line of thinking sneaks its way into our heart. We, like the workers that have been going all day and see those who converted maybe later in life or who lived a very unholy life before they came to faith, see them receiving the same joy and same gifts that God gives to all of His people, we start to wonder, don't I deserve something a little bit more? Don't I deserve a little bit more from God? Doesn't my efforts and my holy living and my lifelong effort of being a great follower of Him deserve more from Him? And we start to wonder, isn't it at the end of the day, the thing that counts the most my efforts, how long I've been in the struggle of faith, how long I've been contributing to the kingdom of God. But Jesus' parable teaches us one thing. There's only one thing that counts at the end of the day. At the end of our life, at the end of the efforts of the Christian kingdom, at the end of the efforts of the Christian church and all the individuals that make up that movement, there is one thing that counts. And it's the generosity of our leader. It's the generosity of our master. It's the generosity of our God. See, when the Lord of the vineyard, when the owner of the vineyard went out into the marketplace to find workers, he didn't pick the ones that deserved to be a part of his vineyard. He chose from everyone that was open to his invitation. He extended the opportunity for employment in his efforts to anyone that would come with him into his vineyard. And he offered all of them the same wage, as was his right as the owner of the vineyard, as the one who was paying out the wages. He chose to give them all the same. And at the end of the day, it's God's generosity that counts. If we were to continue reading in the Gospel of Matthew, we'd hear an example out of Jesus' own mouth as to what the generosity of God truly consists of. He tells his disciples that soon he has to go to Jerusalem. He will be turned over to evil men. He will be put to death, but on the third day will rise again to life. So you see, when we've been living the Christian life for a long time, maybe more than a year, maybe more than 10 years, maybe longer than we can remember. Sometimes our sinful nature sneaks into our hearts and minds and tells us, your efforts deserve to be rewarded. You should be given a place of prominence over and above those that are new to faith, over and above those that haven't had as deep of a relationship with God as you have. And that moment reminds us that we need to go back to the place where we hear again and again, the only thing that counts is the generosity of God. Because you and I, wherever we land on the spectrum of how long we've been working in the vineyard, it's not our efforts that earn the wages. It's the generosity of the owner of the vineyard that gives us the things that we receive. It's the generosity of God that gives us the gifts He imparts to us, the gifts of forgiveness, the gifts of new life, the gifts of a relationship with the one who made us, even though we don't deserve it. The very presence of the desire for more on account of our own efforts is the proof that we don't deserve the connection with God that we have. And yet, just as Jesus described the generosity of God to His disciples in the pages following this story of the laborers in the vineyard, so also we need to hear again what the true generosity of God consists of. The gift of His Son, put to death on a cross, that our imperfections would be covered, that our sin would be wiped away, that our old life would be drowned and put to death, and that a new life would begin because of His grace and His love and His mercy poured out on us. So if you would, as we continue to remember this story and maybe think about it often throughout the course of this summer together, would you say this prayer with me? And we'll put it on the screen so that you can even say it right now. It's a short prayer. It's a prayer that simply strives to remember that it's God's generosity that counts. Whatever more we desire in life, whatever more we try to get in life by our own efforts, none of it will contribute to our heavenly eternal reality. None of it will contribute to making our relationship with God better, because that is only something He can provide. At the end of the day, one thing counts. It's God's generosity, not our efforts. So we pray together, Lord, help me to always remember it is You who saves me. Amen. I hope this summer, as we spend time in Jesus' teachings together, you would grow deeper, planted more firmly in the Word of God, that His efforts and His work would shine out through your words and actions in life. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us today for Digital Worship.
Sin and shame, they were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But He came and He died and He rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way.
This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. It's so weak that we can barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saved us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? He did, he did. Who paid for all of my sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us.
For joining us in worship today. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you guys next time. Whoa.